Imagine that, how much harvest and fruit blessed so many people. And James really wants the word of God to be cultivated in our heart, in our lives, so that amazing things will happen and so many people will be blessed. And do you know, we really believe in this church that God wants to use us to bless many, many people. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Okay, we might be a church of between 150 and 200 people, but do you know, we could bless thousands and thousands of people. Do you believe that? And we believe from this place, people will go and speak into the nations. He's already doing that. And God is calling some of you. He's got his hand upon you to do some of these things. What, me? Yes, you. Do you believe that? See, God has his hand upon you for a purpose. And this manual on Christian living, it's so important as we study it that we allow the word of God to cultivate in our lives so it produces beautiful, beautiful harvest that will feed many. So when the word of God is cultivated in our hearts, it leads to living with God's Holy Spirit. We're moving today from the theme that real faith produces genuine love to real faith produces genuine humility. You know, sometimes we don't know the measure of a person's life until they've died and we see what they have done in their life. And all these kind of things come out the woodwork. You know, and this person did that and this person did the other. And so many, I didn't know that about that person. Did you know that? And all these kind of things happen. Unfortunately, we get to find out most of them when people have died. I want to see it while people are alive and we get to see it and enjoy it. King Solomon, for example, accomplished much in his life. In 2 Chronicles 1:7, God appeared to him and said these words, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Wow. Anybody had that? Anybody like it? Be careful before you put your hand up. Ask whatever you would like. Solomon had inherited an amazing kingdom. David had taken so much land. There was so much wealth in the land. Israel was near enough at peace. David had dealt with all the enemies externally. And Solomon has got a massive kingdom to look after. And this is what he replies. It shows his true character. "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Give me wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to say later, but you can't gain wisdom by going to Bible college. You can't gain wisdom by going to university. You can gain knowledge. You can have the most knowledgeable person, but a most unwise person. It's good to go to university, by the way. I'm not against it. I'm for it. If you can go, go. But make sure you get involved with a good church wherever you go to university. More than anything, he needed wisdom to govern his people well. This was a response of Solomon's humility. And 1,000 years later in James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Do you know what God wants to give every one of us in this room without exception? Wisdom. Anybody agree with me? Does anyone have a theological discussion about that? I believe one of the things God wants to give every one of us is wisdom. To know how to do things, when to do things. Very important. So let's start at James 3:13. Here we have the contrast between the unwise and the wise person. There are 6 verses that paint 2 pictures. One of somebody who lacks God's wisdom and the other person who has received wisdom from above. So, James starts in verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you?" starts off with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? So my question to you is, who is wise and understanding among you today? Who is wise? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. When we become a Christian and the Holy Spirit comes and works in our life, we should become more humble. There should be a humility, a God-given humility that comes in our life. A humility that brings wisdom. It's a transformational change within. And the life of the believer changes towards the good, showing obedience to God's word. If we want to be wise, we have to, first of all, show obedience to God's word. You see, we can know it, we can have the knowledge. We could go to theological studies, university, study theology, and have all the knowledge we need to know what it is to be wise. But it's when God says, do you know that person that hurt you yesterday? And you sort of somehow turn your Bible to where it says, forgive those people. It's amazing, isn't it, the way God sometimes uses his Holy Spirit to touch something, a spotlight in our heart, so we can know what the word of God says, but the actual to apply it and to be obedient, say, okay, God, you've asked me to do it. I'm finding it hard, but I'm going to do it. Education does not make a person wise. What makes a person wise is how well their lifestyle reflects the truth. Does that make sense? How well their lifestyle reflects the truth. People today view meekness and gentleness as marks of weakness. They see a humble person as someone who lets others walk over them, but not so in the Bible. See, gentleness or humility is an aspect of the fruit of spirit. In Galatians 5:23, we're not going to look at that now, but you can read it. But it is closely linked to self-control. So when we have this word humility, by deed done in the humility that comes from wisdom, it describes a high-spirited horse brought under control. It's a word that is used for a high-spirited horse that is brought under control. You see, the horse hasn't lost its natural strength. It's still powerful. One of the first jobs I ever had was to break horses in. I used to work in a place where the mares, these big racehorse mares, would give birth to foals. They could lift me up and throw me around like a rag doll. They were very, very strong. The horse hasn't lost its natural strength, but it carries that strength with gentleness and humility. And that is biblical wisdom and has profound practical implications. Now, we can quite often gravitate towards great biblical teachers. We can think, don't they preach well? Isn't it amazing, that sermon that they preach? But then when you look at their lifestyle and you look at their disobedience to God in the way of applying the word of God to themselves, it's not a good thing to follow that person. Do you know that? And there are many people today that follow personalities that can preach a storm, that can preach such a good sermon that you will empty your bank account and give them everything you've got. But when you look at their lives, you find out that actually it's very sad, because they do not cultivate the word of God in their life, and they're very unwise in the way they live because they don't apply the word of God to their own life. And they're not wise people. It's very important, whoever you listen to, and I do encourage you to listen to all kinds of different speakers. Enlarge your, or broaden who speaks into your life. I went to a conference this year, this week, after church on Sunday. We went to Stratford Church and then went off to London. And I went to an Anglican conference. And there were Anglicans and Catholics and Pentes and all kinds of things. There were 6,000 people at this conference. And they were represented from 100 different countries in the world. Isn't that amazing? And can I tell you, at one point, the whole place was, people had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came. We're in the Royal Albert Hall and the Apollo at the same time. And the presence of God just came upon the Anglicans, the Pentecostals, the Catholics. I had the privilege of meeting the pastor that pastors the Pope, which is amazing. He's actually been asked to do the last three popes. And every Friday, the Pope comes to him and he brings a word from God to him. 20 years ago, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit when the charismatic renewal came in the Catholic Church, and they just prayed for him, and he just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he brings a word to the Pope. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'd listen to him. I'd listen to that man, and I'll tell you for why. Because he studies the Word of God in Greek and Hebrew. He can speak German. He can speak Swedish. He can speak English. And he studies the Word of God. And you know, when they asked him to pray, the hairs on my neck stood up. The whole place was silent. He stood there for 6 minutes before he prayed. But boy, when he prayed. See, that man allows the word to be cultivated in his life. It was quite funny because he told this story, which he was preaching to the Pope and some of the cardinals. And because some of the cardinals came that didn't speak English, you had to speak in three different languages. Emma, ready to preach in three different languages. And so this one cardinal kept looking at his watch. And the Pope got out of his seat and went up to him and said, excuse me, when the man of God preaches, you listen. That was amazing. So I'd listen to that man. That man's earned my respect already, and I listened to him. And there were other men and women across the world. I met Justin Welby, who was, I have to say, really, I was so impressed with what he had to say. He's the Archbishop of Canterbury. I met the Catholic Archbishop of Westminster. And together, they sat on a pulpit. And the Catholic Archbishop said to Justin Welby, in front of everybody, I trust this man implicitly because they've prayed together. They all had something to say. And the reason I listened is because they're being obedient to what God is saying in their life. And I want to encourage you today, God is doing something across our nations that we don't even realize. This is one of the reasons I want to ask you to come and join us at Pentecost, where our town center churches come together. I know it's another ask, but at 3 o'clock I'm going to ask you to do that. Okay, let's look at James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual and of the devil. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So having introduced the idea of a wise person marked by a good way of life, by gentle works, James spent some time describing an unwise person. He started off by mentioning bitter envy and selfish ambition. None of that in here, is there? We don't have any bitter envy of anybody, do we? Or selfish ambition. Do you know they come together quite often? They come in pairs. They're twins. Hello, this is bitter envy, and this is selfish ambition. And we go everywhere together. The heart of the unwise person has an insatiable hunger to be top dog. You ever work with somebody that wants to be top dog? Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, whoever they walk over, doesn't really matter, as long as they can become top dog. I think at times happens in church too. You may have seen it. You may have experienced it. You may be experiencing it now. There can at times be a lot of petty jealousy and selfish ambition. You know, I think over the years, the amount of times I've dealt with people over petty jealousy and selfish ambition has so saddened my heart. When I left Redditch to go to King's Standing Church, for some of you can remember, who was here when I left to go to King's Standing Church? Put your hand up. Do you know? You thought you got rid of me and I came back, I know. Do you know what happened on my first Sunday? Can I tell you? Do you want to know? Bit of gossip, isn't it? Bit of gossip in church. Pastor's off. And get to church. Pastor comes in late. And two of the deacon's wives are fighting verbally. In the foyer, with everybody coming in. Great opportunity, really. Great witness. Do you know why they were fighting? Because they came in the same outfits. And the one woman says, "You keep copying what I'm wearing." I tell you, I walked in and thought, what on earth is going on here? So we go, spiritually as I am, into the vestry with them and said, "What's going on? She's always wearing the same clothes as me," as if she would know. I mean, does she have a camera in her house? And watch what she's wearing and then quickly go to Marks and Spencer's in the morning and buy the same outfit. Do you know what? I had to ask one of them to leave the church over it. Because it was so bad. You know, it took 5 years for that people to come back to church and sort themselves out. Because there was this bitter jealousy. Two deacons and their wives. We don't have that here. We just have it with the deacons. No, we don't. Sometimes people can be jealous about relationships. You know, if I have a relationship with somebody in the church, on a good way, by the way. You know. If I have a friendship with Daniel, who's my brother-in-law, and people go, "Well, they're quite friendly. I wish I had that same relationship." People do get jealous of it. People get jealous about who you sit next to sometimes. It does happen, especially if you sit next to someone's husband or wife, so don't do it. We're laughing, but can we be honest today? You see, we went somewhere to a church event, and a lady who's no longer here said, "I wish I got a house like they've got. Oh, really? Why can't I have a house like they've got?" That's just because the Lord hasn't given it you. Sad, isn't it? How many of us do that? Come on. Is it just the pastor then? I've seen some of you ladies watch what some of the other ladies wear. When you come in, welcome to your world. I want to say to us, we don't want those two twins in our church, do we? We don't want self-ambition and bitterness and jealousy. We don't want them in this place. If that's in our heart, we need to ask the Lord Jesus by his Holy Spirit to come and to heal our hearts. So let's have a look at what James gives: five characteristics of wisdom dominated by the flesh, the opposite of wisdom given from above. Do not boast. Arrogance. The Greek word means, turn your PDA back on. The Greek word means to exult over others, to proudly justify one's own sinful actions, This is contrary to the God-inspired humility. The second thing he says, deny the truth. You know, the biblical truth does not change. What does immutable mean, Tim? Unchanging. So is the word of God immutable? The word of God is immutable. It means it doesn't change. It means that's the standard. God has never changed his mind and go, oh, thus said the Lord, I make a mistake on page 532. It is okay to sleep with your best friend's wife. Oh, no. His word does not change. The problem is, sometimes we don't like the word of God and we try and change it and say, did God really say? Did God actually say that? I'm sure he didn't. And I've studied it. I'm sure God doesn't mean that. No, he couldn't possibly mean that because God only wants me to be happy. Is that true? Have you heard people say that? I'm sure God wants me to be happy. So that bit of the Bible, don't need that one. It'd be all right to roll up with later. There should be no inconsistencies with our words and the word of God. Tim, could I borrow you? Because I know you're a bit embarrassed about coming up here, but could you come up? Now, I'm just going to use you as an illustration. Tim looks quite strong and healthy. And actually, I'm going to liken Tim to the word of God. You like that, Tim? Okay? This is the measure that God wants us to live by. Okay? It is an illustration. Now, the word of God should stand tall like this in our lives. Does that make sense? The word of God should be, this is our standard. This is the way we're going to live. And as a Christian, I have to come along, I read the word of God, and I have to align myself with the word of God, which is bigger than me. Stand still. Okay. I have to get myself in line with the word of God. I have to line myself up, because if I come out, I am no longer aligning myself and I'm no longer living in what God wants. And in our personal circumstances, we cannot say, God surely doesn't mind. God loves me so much, it doesn't matter if I step out of alignment. He loves you enough to give you the word of God so you can step into alignment with it. So it's most important that we do not try and change what the word of God says to make us feel better. To make us think it's okay to live a certain lifestyle. The only place we can be is in line with the word of God. Thanks, Tim. Always a pleasure, I know. And will you stop pinching my bottom? Thank you. Earthly. The word means of the earth, which is a worldly measure of truth, a worldly standard of success, material motives. It's okay not to hurt any, to do what you like as long as you don't hurt anybody. Have you heard that in work? You can do what you like as you want, when you want, how you want, as long as you don't hurt anybody. That's an earthly standard. And sometimes I've heard it in church. People have said to me, well, I'm not doing anything wrong to hurt people. Can I tell you one person you are hurting? God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the best gift that God, Jesus, can give you by having an earthly standard. And what you're saying to the Holy Spirit is, actually, Holy Spirit, I don't really want you today. Could you come back tomorrow so that I can live the way I want to today? Because after all, God really loves me, doesn't he? Or could you just pretend you can't see what's happening? It's a horizontal perspective, it's not a vertical one. Do you remember I asked you to look your eyes to the Lord today? Because your perspective today needs to be a godly one, and my perspective needs to be a godly one. Let's forget earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom unwise, heavenly wisdom wise. Natural. The Greek word is something that I can't pronounce, but it's off our word psyche, which applies to the inner self, the inner human motives. The source of this wisdom is our own thoughts, our own attitudes, our own interests, our own pursuits. It is not Spirit's wisdom that comes from above. It is not our natural wisdom that we want. We want the source to come from above. Demonic. This doesn't necessarily mean that worldly wisdom comes straight from demonic beings, although in some cases that might be the truth. Rather, the emphasis is on wisdom that reflects patterns of thinking so contrary to God's truth that Satan himself could endorse it. So in other words, we can think and behave in such a way we don't need the devil to be giving us that thinking. But we behave in such a way we're doing the devil a favour and helping him in his job. So we see the heart of the unwise marked by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Such a person may be arrogant, dishonest, worldly, natural, and demonic in their character. And James ends his portrait with the brief description, "There you find disorder and every evil practice." We don't want that in our Christian life, do we? Please, church, as we build this church and move forward together, let's not have that here. Let's look at what James says is a good Christian practice. Having described wisdom from below, James ends with the stark contrast of wisdom from above. He has already mentioned that truly wise people demonstrate this wisdom by good behavior and deeds done in gentleness. He now returns, showing the characteristics that marks his or her life and the results that follow. So let's look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then, let's read it together, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. He gives us eight things. When the Holy Spirit is living within us, this is what we should see. Pure. This indicates first in order of importance. God-given wisdom produces purity of internal motives as well as external actions. When the Holy Spirit is working within us, when we get wisdom from above, it is pure. Anybody like honey here? Anybody love honey? Anybody had honey straight from a honeycomb that's just come out of a honeycomb? We were in Romania and they gave it. I don't eat honey normally, but it was absolutely beautiful. I'll say they called it pure honey. It probably was other things in there. Matthew 5 verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart. Do you know, I think the Lord Jesus today wants to make us pure. Do you believe that? He wants his Holy Spirit to work in us so all our motives are pure. When I'm helping Pam, not that I do very often, but it's because she's my sister in Christ. She has a need, and I want to try and help her. It's not because there's an ulterior motive. It's because she needs help. And the Holy Spirit working within me wants me to do something to bless this lady. Peace-loving. Do you think those two deacons' wives were peace-loving? I do not think the work of the Holy Spirit was happening in that place. I think the things that were in their heart probably were from sin. The devil didn't really need to do much on Sunday that day because the people were doing it. God-given wisdom produces peaceful relationships. God's supernatural life within us guards against hurting others. Do you know when God's working through us and we're applying the word of God, it would mortify us if we hurt our brother and sister by something we'd said or done. I've been in situations where somebody says, well, they'll just have to get over it then, won't they? You know? If I upset somebody unintentionally, and I have done every time I open my mouth, it upsets me. My heart breaks because I do not want to offend my brother or sister, because I want to love them. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Considerate. This describes a person who surrenders their rights for a higher ideal. Are you in competition with me, Hayden? Bye-bye. With God's wisdom, we meet violations of our rights with a different kind of ethic. We want our rights, don't we? If somebody hurts us, we want justice. We want to be right. In an argument, we want to be right. Matthew 5, 39 to 40 says this. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn also the left cheek. Can we try that, Pam? I'm joking. No, I'm not. No. Verse 40. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. I should say, the Bible's a bit... Should we rip that page, want that one out? Should we take that bit of scripture out? Anybody done that at work? Wrongfully accused you? Wrongfully said something against you? You've remained quiet? Have you had it where somebody has actually slapped you on the face because you're a Christian? There's a man called Reuben who used to head up all the Elim churches in Kenya. He died on Sunday. Lovely man. You would have loved him as your pastor. He's the kind of guy that everybody loves. Would travel hundreds of miles to visit a sick person. I remember once this other Christian coming up and slapping him across the face when I was there. Couldn't believe it. He just stood there. He just turned his face to the other side. And you know what they did? Slapped him on the other side. And you know all he did? Was just tell them that actually their behaviour was inappropriate as a Christian. And really that wouldn't please God. He's now with his Saviour, enjoying heaven, enjoying his Lord. And I'm sure the Lord has said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for not ripping that page out of my word. Submissive. Submissive is someone who is teachable, who puts aside stubbornness and yields to the truth. Have you ever met anybody that says, I will not do that. Whatever anybody says, I am not going to change my mind. I'm not going to be different. I'm quite stubborn. You know, we cannot be stubborn as Christians. Can't be stubborn when God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, you know, you really shouldn't be like that. Really, this doesn't please the Father. You go, no, I'm not going to change. I don't care. Really, the child goes, I'm not going to do it. Any children in here that are a bit like that? A bit stubborn? Who are you looking at there? You looking at your son? All right, okay. Are you stubborn, Ben? If you are stubborn, I have an antidote for you today. It's called the Holy Spirit. You need to invite him to come and say, Holy Spirit, please take in this stubbornness away and soften my heart today. And the Lord says, I will take a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A pure heart where honey flows from your lips. Full of mercy. Mercy is looking at someone with compassion and withholding a just punishment that person deserves. So there may be somebody that deserves the punishment for their behavior. They may behave in the most inappropriate way. They may do something that is vile. And we show acts of mercy when they deserve punishment. In my office, in the office we share now in Ecumenical Centre and at home, I have a picture of Jesus carrying the cross out of the Passion film. I'm sure many of you have seen it. And sometimes when people do things that hurt me, and it happens quite often, too often, and it happens to you quite often, and too often, I look at that picture where Jesus is carrying the cross through the streets, and Jesus did that for me. He took my place and he carried that, and Jesus, I see him full of grace and mercy carrying that cross. And if he can do that for me, then I can forgive people that do things for me, and I can apply grace and mercy to that situation. Today, in this room, Holy Spirit, I did show me this as we're doing it. The Lord Jesus wants you to apply grace and mercy to that person that's hurt you inappropriately, that should not have done it. They shouldn't have done it. They should have known better, but they've done it. Be full of mercy. Mercy shows kindness. Good fruit. Wise people are full of good fruit. Outward actions accompany mercy that abound in fruitful deeds. Do you want to be a tree full of good fruit? Do you want someone to come up to you and say, you know, at our house group, Ruth buys us chocolate every Wednesday. Comes and brings a bag of chocolate and she gives out chocolate. Isn't that right, our house group? Comes and gives everybody chocolate. And I'll say, you miss me out, Ruth. No, I don't. Some of the good fruit that God's done in her heart, still working on her life, she's really blessing other people with things. We love chocolate in our house group. No, there isn't any room, we're full, sorry. What good fruit's coming out of your life today? When people come to you, what fruit can people take from your branches and enjoy? Impartial, a wise person who will not violate biblical standards regardless of any situation. They will never compromise on the truth of Scripture. No, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. Understand what I'm saying? We're aligning ourselves with Scripture, and regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves, I'm sorry, but this is what the Word of God says. And in this day and age that we live in, we need to be people who say, no, I'm sorry, this is what the Word of God says. We need to do that. In any situation you're going through at the moment, you can easily compromise. Easily. You can either take a shortcut. No shortcuts to truth. So we need to be sincere. I've nearly finished now. This is a person where what you see is what you get. Anybody study WYSIWYG when they were at school? Did you do WYSIWYG? Yeah. What does WYSIWYG stand for? What you see is what you get. Are you a WYSIWYG Christian? Ask the person next to you if you're a WYSIWYG Christian.
WYSIWYG.
WYSIWYG, WYSIWYG. What that means is, what you see is what you get. There's no masks. Does that make sense? When you see the person next to you, they're not wearing a mask. This is who they are. They don't pretend to be somebody else. Who they are is somebody that lives by the standard, the Word of God. They're not different on a Sunday afternoon as they are in church on Sunday. They're very sincere. See what James says in verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I want to go back to that maize field that we saw in Kenya. Every day I watched it to see how much it had grown. Growed like. It was exciting. I kept in the morning saying, how much more has it grown? I'd love every Sunday to come to church. How much more have we grown in righteousness today? As I look around the room. Oh, isn't it wonderful that amazing harvest that's coming in church today of righteousness? You look at somebody next to you, gosh, isn't it great to see what's growing in their lives today? Beautiful. Every Sunday we come in and watch somebody growing and in their spiritual life and developing into becoming more like Jesus. Ben, could you come and play, you stubborn man? Repent. You just kneel here. What do you mean he's like his mother? It's good to have fun in church. It's good to laugh. If we can't laugh at ourselves, who can we laugh at? Do you know one man of God? I think his name was Lake. What was Lake's first name? Evangelist in America. You would look in the mirror and he would not look in the mirror and say something like my dad would say, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. He would look in the mirror and say, man of God, wherever you go today, God is with you. He's in you. He's living in you. So whatever you do, he's with you. I really want us to be honest with this whole series of James. This is not for condemnation. This is so that you and I can really be released to be the people God has called us to be. This is so that you and I can have wonderful fruit in our lives so that we can bless our community and bless this nation. God wants you to have so much fruit in your life that people can come and hungry people come, oh, can I have some? Can I have some? Oh, have you got some more? Can I have some more of that? And you just got loads of fruit in your life. Of course you can. Have some of that. Have some love. Have some of Jesus. Have some of the Holy Spirit. Is our life characterized by gentleness and humility? Do we act the same way at home as at work or at church and in public? Do we build others up? Do we rejoice at their successes? Do we place the needs and interests of others ahead of our own? Are there areas in our lives where we can ask the Holy Spirit to make us wise today? Do not be unwise, but be wise. Again, this is not a word of condemnation. I do not want you to start feeling bad about yourself. This is not a beat you up session. This is a build me up session. I want us to stand when you're ready. I want you to place your hand upon your heart when you're ready. And if there's any area in your life where you're unwise, where you need the Holy Spirit to come, you've heard the word of God, let the Holy Spirit plant now and cultivate in your life. And we're all going to stand if you're able to. If you're not able to stand, that's okay. But place your hand upon your heart and invite him. Before we do that, one final quote. This is from a man called Howard Hendricks from the Dallas Seminary in America. People won't care how much we know until they know how much we care. People aren't interested in what we know. They don't care. But what they want to know is how much we care. And then they'll want to know what we know. Some of the fruit of wisdom, as the Holy Spirit comes from works within out, will bring a harvest for others. And I believe God just wants to release that harvest in this season in our church. There'll be so much fruit in this church. So much. That it will change our community in Redditch. God's already given us what he wants us to do. So if you're ready right now to stand, place your hand upon your heart, and then I'm going to pray, and then we will finish. We won't take another song at the end. So if you're ready to stand, please stand now. Place your hand upon your heart. Father, I'm praying these eight things over our life. I'm going to read this scripture again in James 3. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is peace-loving. It is considerate. It is submissive. It is full of mercy and good fruit. It is impartial and sincere. Father, we pray that all those eight things will be seen in the life of this church. Not just in a few. Lord, it's a big prayer in every one of us here today. That means, Holy Spirit, that we need you to touch the parts of our life that need touching and submit to you. Lord, we choose to do that today. I pray on behalf of this church that we will be people that will submit and are teachable and yield to the truth. Father, those areas in our life that need work, we thank you that you will do that and transform us from within. And we will sow in peace, Lord, and reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen.